I'm going to stand down here. It's good to see all y'all. If you can't tell, my voice is kind of out right now. So I'm not going to be doing a lot of the talking today. I'll be sharing the mic, passing it around today. We'll have a sort of hot potato kind of thing. So don't get nervous. If you see somebody you think shouldn't be speaking up here, it's okay. God will work with it. This year at Camp Overflow, I had the privilege and the honor of being a leader of kind of spearheading this whole thing, which was, I'm not going to lie to you, very overwhelming. I'm 19 years old. I just turned 19 a month ago. And it's kind of overwhelming to think that you have the responsibility of taking all these kids into the woods and making sure nothing happens to them, because kids do stupid stuff. I mean, I do enough stupid stuff. I'm like, I'm out here having to watch out, make sure that I'm not getting seriously injured. And like, now I'm thinking, I've got to make sure that I have these 45 campers. Nothing bad is going to happen to them. It's a lot of responsibility, right? And then not only that, I'm thinking, I have to make sure, my job here is to make sure these kids leave with their lives changed. That's a lot of pressure, right? And so very early on in the process, I was freaking out. Very, very freaked out. Overwhelmed, a little stressed out, not knowing how it was going to work. People who had been doing things in the past at camp, who had been running different area stations, they weren't going to be able to make it. And I'm sitting, my voice is probably going to crack a lot, so we're just going to get past it, okay, guys? My voice is changing again. So now, I was sitting back there in the nursery, right? In the nursery here at the church. I'm in this rocking chair, and I'm like typing up, you know, memos and different sheets about leadership roles, what I want to see, the vision and the mission of camp, all these different things. And I'm feeling overwhelmed, right? And I just stood up right then and there, and I said, God, I cannot do this. I can't do it. It's not going to happen. Somebody else has to do it. And then I realized somebody else was going to do it, and it was God, right? And very early on in this process, I realized the only way this camp was going to be a success is God had to be there. He had to show up. Throughout everything we were doing, his hand had to be upon it, right? Even till the last Tuesday we went up, the Tuesday right before Thursday when we went up to camp, Tuesday, me, Harry, and Lindsay went up to the campsite, and kind of the reality, okay, everybody's going to be here in just a few days, hit us. And we were walking out on the peninsula down there by the lake, and we're walking out there, and we're just praying because we don't know what to do. So we're walking out there praying. I'd been hyping it up in service every single week, you know, got to get the kids to camp, got to get the kids to camp. And you're feeling a little overwhelmed, like, what are we going to be doing here at camp? And I'm just walking out there, and I heard very clearly from God, just like, don't worry about it. Get out of the way and let me work. And that's exactly what happened at camp. And you know what? It happens every year at camp. So I don't even know why I had a moment to worry, because God shows up every single year. And I was, though I had these flesh moments of, you know, tiredness, angry, hungry so much, just frustration, heat exhaustion. You have all this different stuff. I would do it all again in a moment's notice, because it was worth it for the lives of these campers, for the lives of these counselors, for my life. I didn't even get ministered to, guys, and I was changed and transformed. I left camp different. In case you don't know what Camp Overflow is, in case you've never, most of you have never been a part of it, right? You've never had any experience with it. What we do is we go out into the woods for it's only about 48 hours. It's 51 hours we're out there, and that includes an hour of drive time there and an hour of drive time back. So we're out there 49 hours, okay? And in that 49 hours, you experience like a whole year's worth of stuff. It feels like a straight up eternity. It is long, right? You don't sleep very well. It's hot everywhere. You can't escape the heat. Even the fans are blowing hot air on you. You're like, God, take me now. No, I'm just joking. No, but it's a lot. It's a lot. And we're out there in the woods, and we're seeking after one thing. Yeah, we're doing teams. We're having competition, games. All that's just a distraction to wear down our flesh without us really realizing what's happening. So that when we get to the night services, when we get to the sessions, when we get to the ministry times, that lives are changed and people are impacted. And the campers don't always realize that's happening when we do the mega relay and different stuff. And the counselors don't even realize that too, that that's really what we're doing to you by having you watch all the campers. But we're wearing everybody down. It's stretching everybody so that when we get to these times of ministries, we have literally no strength to resist God. It's all out the window. And so we get to these moments where we're broken down mentally, emotionally, or exhausted. And here's what happens. We have kids snotting all over you if you minister to any kids, just sobbing, crying their little eyes out, right? I have counselors who I'm ministering to who are just bawling and like just curled all up in your shoulder, and they're just snotting all over your shirts. And that's the reality of camp. That's what it is. And it happens every single year. Why? Because God is faithful to show up when we give him something to work with. And so today, the mission of camp is we create this environment, right? We go out in the woods, we set up these circumstances, these situations. We create this environment where God can move. So today we're going to give you a taste of camp, right? We're going to share with you some about what happened. But I want you to experience what happened at camp. I said this at camp, and this is so true. God is so much more than just some chill bumps on a Sunday morning service, right? He's so much more than just, is it the AC or is it God? Okay? God is more than that, right? And we rely on God to come through and answer things at camp. These kids over here, these counselors over here, we had answers. We had clarity about our lives. Why? Because we serve a real and living God who wants so much more than just to be this mystical force in our life, who wants to be a father to us, who wants to lead us and guide us into all truth. And so that's what we're doing today. I think we're going to start off, today by having a few testimonies, a few people share from camp. I think I might call a majority of counselors just because I trust what you guys are going to say more. But you guys are more experienced people. But I'm going to call up some campers too. But I could call up anybody from this section and they could share. I just want to let you know that. I could call up anybody from that section and they could probably give 20 minutes about how their lives were changed at camp. But we don't have that time. So I'm just going to interview some people today. Let me start off with Courtney Netzler. Let me tell you a little bit about Courtney Netzler, okay? We've been at camp since day one, right? Ride or die, homie, right? Okay. We've been at camp since day one. We're big believers in camp, what takes place. But we have always been, a few others over here, Courtney especially, have been the people who get the brunt of the work at camp. They have to do a lot of stuff. And so it can be stressful. It can be overwhelming, right? And Courtney does a ton at Camp Overflow every single year. Last year, she led worship, she made all the food, she did all the shopping, she was the main disciplinarian at camp, right? She kept those kids in line. And so I was like, and Courtney wasn't going to be able to be at camp this year. And I was freaking out. This was part of the reason I was freaking out in the nursery. I'll tell you what happened. Courtney doesn't even know this happened. I'm over there in the nursery on that day, and I'm like, God, okay, I'm giving it over to you. I'm like, I don't know who's going to be leading stuff. I don't know who's going to be doing stuff. I prayed in tongues for an hour, guys. Right? We tell you here at Good News Church, pray in tongues till you get peace. It was taking me a while to get some peace. I'm praying in tongues. I'm like, God, I need something to come through. Oh, we're doing this, we're doing that, doing the other. And I'm like, I got to have somebody to lead these things. I have to have somebody step up. And it goes throughout the day. And I got to this point where I'm like, okay, I feel good. It's going to be taken care of, God. I don't know what's going to be happening, but you'll work it out. I get a call from Courtney that night. Like, we were having another prayer session that night. We were doing this thing with the lower room. We were having a prayer session here at the church. During the prayer session, I get a call from Courtney. It goes to the voicemail. I have my phone with me. I listen to the voicemail after prayer time. And Courtney's like, hey, Grayson, I just feel led by God just to be there at camp this year to help you out. I'm changing my flights. I'm changing my summer plans. Because you're leaving what, tomorrow? Because Courtney works at the Nationals, so she's not even here for the summer. She goes and works other places during the summer as a chef or a pastry chef or a sous chef or whatever those terms are. And so she was able to be here. And I was like, thank you, God. God came through for me. That was the first miracle at camp, that Courtney's going to be able to be there. But Courtney, just briefly, just share a little bit about what happened at camp for you in your life.
Sure. I went last year and it was rough. I'm in a much different place than I was last year. Like, I just had to kind of get out of my flesh. Because it's uncomfortable being at camp, you guys. Like, it is brutal. And it's like Grayson said, you just get so stripped down that you literally do not have a choice but to submit and yield to the Holy Spirit. It's your only option. But it was awesome. I selfishly always go to camp thinking that I'm going to be ministered and poured into as well. And it happens every time. It's like Grayson said, just because we're there to lead the kids and minister to the kids and feed the kids, yell at the kids in love, I want to receive something too. And I absolutely did. I got a chance to, with Miss Mala and a couple of the other ladies, We split up the guys and girls, did an outbreak session, and if any of you were here for my emotional offering message a couple weeks ago, I kind of shared what was on my heart, and God had given me more to say. I read some of the scriptures Pastor Susie used last week during service, and just really had a chance to talk to the girls and be real with them. We split into small groups and had some time of ministry. We prayed for each other, and that's what's so moving is these kids. You know, they come in, they all come from all over the place. There's broken homes, there's people just, you don't know what their situation is. But when they come to Camp Overflow, God shows up, he shows out, he moves, he impacts their lives. We get to be the ones to kind of minister to them, but we get ministered to as well. Friday night, you know, it's so funny because it's like you can just get really caught up in your thoughts, just like, you know, the music doesn't sound right. Like, I don't think I'm in the right key. Like, I can't even hear myself, like, whatever. But you just got to close your eyes. You got to shut it out and yield to the Holy Spirit. And so Friday night, it was awesome. Cody spoke. He did a great job. The kids, we entered into a time of ministry. We had worship flowing. We just created that atmosphere, much like worship today. And that's where we were. We settled there and let God move and use us. And so I got to minister to some people, and it's like Grayson said, you know, tears just start flowing. I mean, yeah, you're just exhausted, but here it is. It's like you're speaking into people's lives, and people are being changed, and that's them reacting to that and being open and receiving. And so I spoke to some people, and then I just moved up front and had my eyes closed, and Grayson came and just started pouring into me, and I'm like bawling my eyes out. I'm not going to cry during service, guys. I've done that so much. But I was there, and here I was receiving. I'm like, this is what I wanted. You know what I mean? Like, here I am to help the kids, but I wanted to receive as well. And I think that happened, and I think everybody could say that we were ministered to as well. It wasn't just the campers, but counselors as well. It's an awesome thing to be part of. I'm glad to be back in the AC, praise God. But I'm so glad I was able to come. My schedule worked out, and it's so funny because I wasn't going to call you that night, but I was with my sister. She's like, yeah, I think I'm going to work it out in my schedule, too. I'm like, I'll just call Grayson right now, and it went to his voicemail, but praise God for answered prayers.
It worked out. That was an amazing phone call. Courtney, thank you for sharing. I'm going to call on Elena Wells next. She was also a counselor. First time ever at Camp Overflow. Yeah. First thoughts. Have you ever been, just some questions to think about as you share a little bit. Have you ever been in an environment like that? What happened for you, et cetera?
I'm from Spartanburg, South Carolina, which is 2.5 hours away. And Grayson texted me randomly one day and was like, hey, you want to come to camp? And I was like, yeah, I'll come. And he really hyped it up because we're going to be outside in with no air conditioning and no comfort for, you know, 2-3 days. And I just felt like I was really supposed to be there. I left the beach to come. I was with my family at the beach, and that was real nice. Like, there was air conditioning. We were on a golf course. It was beautiful, and like everyone's like, why are you leaving to go in the middle of the woods? And I was like, I don't know, there's something there, I gotta go. And so I was going, and I was nervous because I didn't know a lot of people, and I'm very introverted, and I have a hard time opening up to people and stuff. But God just used me, and at the time of ministry on that Friday night, people came up to me, and I guess Thursday night as well, girls came up to me, and I was able to pray for them, and I was able to get a girl baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I've been spirit-filled since I was like 4 years old, and I've never done that before, and that changed me. And I was sitting there, and no one came up to me and ministered to me, but as I was ministering to these girls, I'm like bawling like I'm getting ministered to. It's not all over the campers, like that's a liability or something, but like it changed me. I left different. I left empowered. And just being able to speak to girls and empower them and tell them their worth so that they can go out and change the world, that they can go out and do something, see that they don't have to wait till their counselor's age or till they're a pastor or anything to change people's lives or whatever you are. But it really empowered me. And I feel like I'm just, like, all hype. Like, this kid's hype rubs off on you. I don't know what it is, but I was ready to just, like, storm the streets, take my school, call up all my friends that I couldn't get service for when I was there, and just tell them about God and go back to school changed. And I think every single person that went to Camp Overflow, every single person that experienced what we did, counselors, the students, everyone, probably people driving by. Like, I felt like they felt it. Like, you're leaving changed. And if any of you poured into that, if you baked one of the 47 spaghettis, if you did anything, just know that you were a part of life change in counselors' lives, in campers' lives, and anybody who was influenced by that, the people that we're going to reach because of camp, you were a part of that. So I just want everyone here at Good News Church to know that you're changing lives, you're changing people, you're changing me. So thank you for that.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, she mentioned baptism of the Holy Spirit. Camp Overflow Baptism of the Holy Spirit is a huge thing. It's a huge priority. We want to make sure every kid has an opportunity to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If they've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and haven't spoken in tongues for a long time, we work through that. We had about, I think we had 13 or 14 people get baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking tongues for the first time ever. And then we had a huge number of kids where it had been like a one-time experience where they'd spoken in tongues before. And it was just like a big confirmation that like, whoa, I can do this. This is something that I need in my life and something that I can use in my life. Next person I'm going to call up is going to be Isaac. Isaac is first camper calling up. Now, what's really cool about Camp Overflow is that, yeah, we had 33 counselors and 45 kids. And so a counselor, you know, we could split up the kids and minister to all of them. But really, the last 2 years, we've had a huge emphasis on kids ministering to kids, peer-to-peer discipleship, peer-to-peer mentoring, whatever they can do for each other. No, but God flows through them, right, Isaac? And so just, you know, you don't have to, you know, give a big thing, but just tell what happened for you and then share about just ministering to other people.
Let me tell y'all, it's tiring there. That second day, I'll get up back on the floor. That second day after like the mega relay, I didn't have enough strength to cry during the worship. I tried, remember like there were two tears, but it's empowering. The second night was really a big life changer. I got more out of it than last year. I don't know why, but it was just easier. I felt comfortable to speak to other people. I led a few people into baptism of the Holy Spirit. Michael, I just felt led to talk to him there, and I just listened to the Holy Spirit. And so I took him around, and we just walked. And he didn't think he was ready, but I knew he was. So I prayed with him. I prayed with him for a while. And as soon as I started, he told me that his chest began to get tingly. And I was like, you know, praise God. It's working. It's working through you. And I was just really blessed to be able to come. And it was, like, really life-changing. I got called on the spot. I'm really trying to think of what I can say. But
you're good, brother. Yeah. Brother. Now, one of the most important things that happened to Isaac at camp, which Isaac failed to mention, was that his team won. Why Lightning? Camp Overflow, the place where everything's made up and the points don't matter. All right. Let's go. Kyle, you want to come up here real quick? Kyle, just share for a second. Now, Kyle came out to camp last year, right? And we had just met him right before he came out to camp last year. And we were like, hey, Kyle, yeah, come out, man. Be a good time. Just get in the presence of God. Kyle comes out there. I don't think he knew what was going on. He came out there in a suit. And he comes in. He comes in on this. The first night, it might have been okay. Second night, we all have this crazed look in our eyes. We're muddy. We got bandanas on. No clothes are matching. People are barefoot. The legs are just like dark from dirt. You know what I mean? It's just a messy situation. Kyle walks in with a clean smile, like he just ate some Orbit or something, and he's all smiling and got a full suit on, all polished. It wasn't like that this year, was it? But Kyle, just share a little bit about what happened in your life and then ministering to kids. How does that?
Yeah. Well, I was a counselor for the Yellow Jackets I got one in here, but we didn't win, unfortunately. But man, I didn't want to go to camp. You know, I was in a season in my life where I just didn't want to really be bothered with all that. You know, yeah. you get in that place, man, where you just like, oh, I just go to church, man. I'll just serve on the worship team and just go after that. But the Holy Spirit just truly like prompted me to like, man, you got to go. There's something special there for you. And I walked in not knowing how to be a disciple, not knowing how to be a leader. and walked out a warrior. You know, literally, the first night was rough. Nobody slept. I know me and Harry talked that morning, man, and we were like, Harry's like, dude, did you sleep? And I was like, no. But we both, the reason why we didn't sleep, it wasn't just because of the environment. It was because we were anticipating such a powerful move of God. And you literally, like, the anointing was already there when we got there. We literally just stepped right into it. I mean, the first session on Wednesday, just when we were just all in the room, just talking about what we wanted from God and what we wanted to see in these campers. I mean, you could feel the presence of God like no other. So this camp was something that I never experienced. I mean, my prayer language went to a whole nother level. I got to really, like, minister to so many kids. I mean, I would wake up. It was like I was running to the tents in the morning to be able to, you know, to just see what the Lord's done the night before in these kids' lives. And you would try to get in the shower at 6 a.m. in the morning, and you walk in, and those kids were rising and shining at, like, 5:50 in the morning. You're like, wow. The food was great. Coco did so good with the food. And you still was starving. So your flesh got, you know, your flesh was, it was a battle.
No, we said this several times. We did feed the kids a
kid. Yeah, definitely.
The kids ate a lot.
Yeah, but I just want to thank everybody for allowing me to be a part of such a powerful move, just a start of revival in these kids' lives. I mean, when you look out, when you're leading worship, and you look out, and these kids are hands just wide open to receive from God, and you hearing these kids scream and yell out to God and dance and you know, speaking the power of God over each other's lives and prophesying and speaking in tongues. I mean, it just, you can't never be the same. So thanks, man.
I'm gonna call up two people real quick. I'm gonna call up both Addison and Abby. Abby's getting freaked out because Abby doesn't know she's being called on. Yeah. Addison, now you and I talked this morning, so I want you just to go through the same stuff that you talked with me about. So Addison, I'm not gonna ruin anything. You just share, and then I'll fill in any details, because I like telling other people's stories because it's exciting. And so Addison, how did you feel coming into camp? You can be honest, right? Then what happened the first night, what happened the second night for you, and then what happened on that Saturday morning? So, yeah.
I'm from Lexington, so I'm like an hour away. And right before I came here, I wasn't like sure if I wanted to come or not, because I don't feel like I know a lot of people here since I don't come here like every week, like a lot of people. But like the Lord like spoke to me and was like, you got to go because like your life is going to change. And so I had some stuff going on before I came here, and the first night when I was worshiping, God, like, spoke to me and, like, saying, you got to fix this because you can't lose people, because I was in a fight with a person that means, like, the most to me. And when I came home, I fixed that and made everything better.
Yeah.
And the second night, I spoke in tongues for the first time. Yeah. And, like, it was just, like, I was bawling. I couldn't help it, you know. Like, I ran over to Lindsay. I was like, God, I love you so much. And, like, when we were worshiping, my arms were hurting so bad from holding them up so long, but I did not care, honest. On this, people were getting baptized, and Grayson was like, does anybody else want to get baptized? And I was talking to Lindsay. She's like, you should do it. This is a great opportunity. I don't want to pressure you to do it. So I took my shoes off, and I started to go into the water. And, like, I could already hear clappings when I took my shoes off. But as I got deeper down there, I could just hear it louder and louder and louder. And I just felt, like, so much joy. Like, that morning, I was, like, so tired and exhausted from the heat. I was like, I need some air conditioning. And then I went underwater, came back up. I was so hyper and full of joy. Like, I just couldn't wait to leave and spread the word about God and just how amazing he is, because my life is changed forever.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing, Addison. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. Now, Abby is a counselor. Abby, you're from Columbia? Columbia, yeah. And so Abby... I was being ridiculous at camp. Okay. I was just really like going for it. Okay. So the first night I was like, hey guys, we're moving out all the chairs. This isn't going to be one of those camps where it's cool not to be, to care about the things of God. It's not going to be one of those places. So if you're the person not caring about the things of God, you're going to be the one that looks stupid. And the person over there receiving, oh, they're going to be really getting it. So I'm just letting you know, you can resist all you want, but it's not going to be in your best interest, right? And so Abby, I was just being really upfront with Abby. I knew coming in, Abby wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit. I knew she needed it, right? And so I must have told Abby 10 times prior to Friday night. I was like, hey, guess what? Hey, you're not filled with the Spirit yet. Of course, I knew this. I was just playing dumb. I'm like, you're not filled with the Spirit yet. She's like, no. And I'm like, you don't speak in tongues? She's like, no, I don't, Grayson. I don't do that. And I'm like, well, get ready. It's going to happen to you. And she's like, okay. And I was like, yeah, just get ready, get ready. So, Abby, what happened to you on Friday night?
Well, guys, I'm really shocked to be up here. I'm not used to public speaking, but just bear with me. Man, I'm already getting kind of emotional about it. I think this weekend was incredible. First off, let me say that Good News Church has really changed my life. And, you know, like Grayson said, I'm from Columbia, so I drive an hour to be here. Pretty much, you know, I try to come as much as I can. I'm really getting a lot out of this church. But, it really started Wednesday, Thursday, whatever day. I don't know.
Sunday.
Y'all, you lose track of time. You just lose it. Yeah, I didn't know what day it was. But anyway, so we were, you know, having ministry before we went and picked up the kids. We were having a session. And you guys, I just, you know, before coming into camp, I didn't know if I was going to be able to come. I've been praying about it for a while, been, you know, asking God to, you know, open up these opportunities for me to come to camp. I knew there was something there. And, I mean, he did, you know, he listens, he does. And so I had the opportunity to come to camp, you know, Wednesday when I got to camp. It was a very, very stressful day. And, you know, I just came in, and I was like, man, I don't know how I'm going to minister to these kids feeling this way about my life and feeling so heavy. And, you know, that morning that we were about to go pick up the kids, I just asked God, and I was just, you know, crying and snotting everywhere, carrying on. And I was just, you know, God, open me, like, you know, open my heart, allow me to speak to these kids. Let me, you know, I'm giving you all my problems. I'm giving everything to you right now. And just hoping that, you know, I can make a difference in some lives this weekend. And, you know, for a while I felt unqualified, really. I was like, you know, these guys grew up in this church. You know, it was a little bit intimidating for me, knowing that I didn't know these people as, you know, well as everybody else knew each other. But, you know, relationships grew this weekend, and I'm really grateful for that. But, Grayson was right. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit this weekend. Woo! And praise God. Praise God. And, you know, it's just feeling open, you know, feeling so vulnerable and feeling so, like I told Lindsay, you know, I felt so overwhelmed by the whole experience. I was like, man, I just feel so overwhelmed. And that, you know, it's one thing to just be praying. I was praying, you know, God, like, let's do this. Like, let this happen for me, you know? And yeah, exactly. Let's go, God. Like, come on. Come on. I'm asking for it, you know? And it's just, it was so overwhelming. And, you know, Kristen prayed with me, and I don't know what she did, but she did something, you know, and she didn't know my situation, but I just felt so much weight off my shoulders. And, you know, coming home after this is just, it's life changing. It really is, you guys. I don't know what I said up here, but good news is definitely doing good to these kids. So,
amen. Thank y'all so much. Yeah, seriously, we're going to have to start trademarking life-changing because too many people are saying it for us not to have the copyright. Last but not least, I want to call up Cody. And Cody is actually going to be sharing with us just a message today. I told him I was going to give it on the service at 11:25, and I flat out lied to you, brother. But we in church. So yeah, there's a love covering a multitude of sins up in here. And Cody's going to be sharing along the lines of what he shared at camp. But Cody, I actually want you to share about camp, man. Cody came, I'm not even going to tell the story. You can tell your story, man.
Hey, Good News Church.
I'm actually going to walk away.
So you're going to walk away. All right, man. All right. Praise God. Well, hi, Good News Church. This is pretty surreal for me. I was one of the random people that was invited to camp 2 years ago by Nate. Where's Nate? Right there. Yeah, Nate invited me. I was in Colorado. And I was one of those random people that he invited, kind of like some of our counselors who came for the first time. And let me tell you guys, it changed my life. Good News Aurora, where I'm from, is a product of what happened at Camp Overflow. That is the fruit from Camp Overflow. That kind of life change. And it man, this is just, I just look at my life and I see Camp Overflow as kind of this big catalyst each year. It was this huge catalyst that happened to me. It set me on this course for where I am now. It set me on a course as where I am as who I am in Christ and as a minister. It did so much for me. So don't stop inviting random people to camp, all right? Because you don't know what's going to happen from that. You don't know what God's going to do, what he's going to use through that. And I loved camp this year. And one of the, our theme was awake. And Grayson kind of talked about, you know, that, hey, give a message on identity. Give something on identity. And the cool part about this camp was, and one of the things that I love so much, is we didn't take these kids into the woods to tell them what to do. We didn't tell them how they should be. We didn't tell them to stop doing this or stop doing that. We took them into the woods to show them who they are. That was what we did. And, you know, and that's not a message for a middle schooler or a high schooler. It's a message for every single one of us that we need to know exactly who we are. Because I know, I mean, I'm convinced of this. This is what I believe, that apart from knowing that Jesus died for your sins, apart from the gospel, you know, knowing who you are is next to that. You have to know who you are. The gospel is not just about what you get. It's not just about something you get. It's about somebody you become. And we have to walk in that. We have to know what that is. So this is a message that the younger you can hear it, guys, and the more you can walk in it of who you are in Christ, I'm telling you, it'll change your life. It'll change how you think. It'll change what you do. It'll change how you see yourself. I love it. It's one of my favorite things to get to talk about. So I'm going to share some scripture. This is in John chapter 1, verse 12. I don't have my Bible. Do we have it up here, maybe? There it goes. This is in John 1, sometimes you can kind of get confused. There's a lot of things being said. We may not kind of understand the mechanics of what's being said. But in verse 12, God tells us this. He says, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, those in Christ, those us, he gave the right to become children of God." Right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or husband's will, but born of God. See, the gospel is about who we become. It's so crucial. It's so important. Sometimes we just may think, well, the gospel is about me receiving healing. The gospel is about my needs being provided for. The gospel is about me getting a ticket into heaven. The gospel is about who God makes you, who you become. It's just this, it's this supernatural thing that happens. I mean, you think God made the heavens, he made the oceans, he made everything. But the thing, what he really did, what he really put life into is the things that have life, your being, who you are. And when you were reborn, you became this new creature. We know this, right? We know we were this new creature. And I want to talk about a little bit what I talked about at camp. I'm just kind of moving. I'm not used to steps, so if I'm distracting you, I'm sorry. We don't have steps in Colorado. we're up there in the mountains high enough already. But I think I'm just kind of distracting myself with the steps. So what I talked about at camp on Friday night, I had the privilege of talking about it, and on perspective. You know, perspective is kind of how we see certain things, right? So think of this as like yourself, like you're here, all right, this is you. I'm over here. I got one view. This was easier. I had like campers come up here at camp, kind of help me with this. What? Oh, yeah, come on. Yeah, we'll do the illustration. It works. All right. All right, I need four of you. Yeah, cool. Perfect. All right, so Kyle, how would you stand here in the middle, man? Courtney, you can stand down there. Grayson, you can stand there. Chris, you can stand over here. Yep, right here. You're in the middle. You're just going to look at Kyle. Just look at Kyle. This is Kyle. So this is who you are, right? This is you. Your identity is your sense of self. It's how you see yourself. It's who you are. Now, Grayson's got one view, right? He's looking at Kyle over here. You know, Kyle looks like this, all right? Courtney's got another view. It's different than Grayson's view. It's different than what Grayson sees. And Krista has a separate view of Kyle, right? We're all looking at Kyle. He looks different. He looks different from every angle, all right? So these are your different perspectives, right? These are these different views of how Kyle is. You guys are doing great. You can go sit back down. Give him a hand. They did great. So perspective, it's important. One of the things about our identity is we have to know that there's these different viewpoints when it comes to who we are. Now, the first viewpoint, you know, one of these people will be this, it is the world. So what does the world see you as? What is the world's view of you? And this, it's going to get better. The next few viewpoints are a lot better. This one might sting a little bit. The world hates us as believers. You know, the world is going to put labels on us. The world's going to tell us what to do. It's going to tell us how we should be. But the world has no right to tell you who you should be. Even as a Christian, guys, even as you know, the Christian, the world will say, oh, you're a Christian, you're this. You're a Christian, you do this, and you do this, you do this. The world has no right to tell you who you are as a new creation in Christ. The Bible does. The Bible is what does that. And the world is going to put these labels on you, and I know it's hard in middle school. I'm a middle school substitute teacher, and I know that, like, the labels that get put on kids, it's based on their shoes, it's based on what's going on at home, it's based on what their parents make. As we get older, you know, and as we kind of grow up, it's about how much we make, it's about what we look like, maybe it's about how successful we are, maybe it's even about how we're leading our families. Just these preconceived labels that the world is going to slap a label on you and say, okay, here, now live up to this. And sometimes we try to do that, and it's hard. And here's the good news, though, is that the world hated Jesus, too. The world hated Jesus, but and here's the thing with this, is that that didn't stop God from sending Jesus to die for the world. That didn't stop God. It just shows you how big and powerful his love is. So we're not supposed to just kind of stand back and condemn the world and think of ourselves as high and mighty, but we have that same attitude towards the world that God has. That, hey, even though you hate me, I still love you. I still will lay myself down for you. I still have what you need. The life I have, the world still needs. That wasn't me at all. That was not me at all. And so, okay, so we have the world, right? The world is looking at us this way. It doesn't like us. It's throwing all these bad things at us, all right? And it's easy to want to live up to what the world is going to say, because sometimes it's more in the natural. Sometimes it's more things we can see, we can evaluate. You know, and living by faith is living by faith. It's not living by sight. It's easy to live by sight and live up to what the world is going to tell you to do, but we don't live like that. We live by faith. Our next viewpoint here is going to be this. So will be the next viewpoint, and this is going to be how God sees us. And guys, this is the most, this is where it gets good. This is where the good news comes in, is when we know how God sees us. God doesn't see us like the world sees us. Amen. He sees us far better. He doesn't look at our faults. He doesn't look at our failures. He's not mad at us. He's not putting unrealistic expectations on us. Jesus says his yoke is easy to bear. So when God looks at us, there are three things I talked about. First one would be this, is that God loves us. And you know, you can just say that. You can say those three words, God loves me, God loves me. You can grow up in church and just hear that. But when you're just, I mean, that's just something that even me, you know, lying in bed awake at night, just going, okay, God loves me, God loves me. But what does that really mean? Well, it means he doesn't just love you like a feeling. He sent Jesus. He shows you how much he loves us by sending Jesus. For God so loved the world, he sent his only son. We know how much God loves us because it's because of what he's done for us. And then this gets crazy. You know, Jesus' prayer in John 17, he's on his knees praying. And then this is important because this is the night before Jesus goes to the cross. He's praying. And he says in verse 23, you don't have to put it on the screen. I'm just going to fly by it real quick. But he says that we would know that God loves us as much as he loves Jesus. I mean, that's a mind-blowing concept. We read the word and we know that, okay, God must really, really, really love Jesus. But then when we flip it around and go, that same love, the same feelings that God had, the same attitude he has toward Jesus, he has for us. That is where it gets real. That is where it will change us. And that is something that you tell yourself that every day, it will not get old. We have to know, I mean, even, it's just, we think maybe that these are things we've heard before. I know these are things that we say in Colorado, that we say here in Augusta, but these are things that, I'm telling you guys, they don't get old. These are things we just have to kind of keep putting in ourselves, and then we're going to see change. And just kind of just lie awake and just think about these things. Think about God's love for you. Second thing is this, is that God forgives you. God forgives you. And it's easy because, you know, in our world, we think, okay, well, you heard the phrase forgive and forget, right? How many of you, you know, who struggles with forgiving and forgetting? I struggle with forgetting. Let's be real here. Like, it can be hard to forget. You know, when someone really wrongs you, someone does something to you that is wrong, you really can do forgive them, but it's hard to forget. It can be hard to forget. It's easy to sometimes hold on to things, but our God is far bigger than that because he really does forget. He really does forget when he forgives you. The Bible says he wipes you clean. He forgets your sins. So when we sit around And it's easy for us to go, okay, you know, to confess our sins to God, but then we still remember them, and then we think that we can't really go to God because we just did this really big thing. And in reality, that's not true, because you're going to God and go, all right, God, like, I know we've talked about this and ever, but yeah, that big thing I did, like, I'm really, really sorry. And God is sitting there going, I don't know what you're talking about. I've forgotten. I don't know what's going on. Like, the sin issue, oh, that's taken care of with Jesus. There is no issue for that. You don't have to come to me afraid. You don't have to come to me, you know, cowering and afraid to come into my presence because of the sin you've done. I've forgiven you. That's God's forgiveness. Whoo! When you just sit, and that's, again, you think about that, and that will just, that'll radically change you. That there is no sin issue. God does not remember your sins anymore. That's a powerful truth. The second one is this, is that God, excuse me, the third one, last one, God accepts you. And I shared this at, you know, at camp. Guys, I was like awkward growing up. Like I was the, if I would not be someone who would want to go to camp as a middle schooler, I couldn't catch a football to save my life. I think at camp I couldn't catch a football to save my life now that I remember too. But, you know, I had a bowl cut for like 8 years, guys. It was bad. I mean, that didn't really help to the whole acceptance thing. So I struggled. As an, yeah, I'll be real. Yeah, it'd be pretty real. And so I struggled going up just with acceptance. You know, I wasn't good at sports, and you know, I didn't like the way I looked. So I just kind of found my worth and my value in those kinds of things, and it hurt. You know, I was looking for acceptance. I figured out I could play music, so thank God I found something I could find people to bond with over, and. So acceptance, it's that I struggle with it a lot. So that's why this identity in Christ meant so much to me, is because it for me it changed how accepted I am and how much I know that I'm accepted. So God accept, and my favorite verse when we're talking about this, it's in Romans 8:1, where it says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There's no judgment. God has accepted you. And rejection, Jesus endured the ultimate rejection when he's up on the cross and he's crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus endured this feeling of rejection so you would never have to in him. He did that already. So God will never, ever, ever reject you for anything. And knowing that, you don't even care what the world is going to think about you when you know this, that God really accepts you. There's no shame. There's no God is mad at you. So these things, that God loves us, he forgives us, and he accepts us. This is when God sees us, that's what he looks at. So we have the world. It's not going to like us, hates us. It's going to call us things, but it has no right to call us these things because we're not of the world. You have God. He loves you. He accepts you. He forgives you. What's the third view? What's this one over here? This could be the one. This is where it changes us. This is where things get real. It's how do you see yourself? What do you look at when you see yourself? And this is the key, is knowing this and walking in this. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? Do we see maybe the self-condemnation we have for ourselves? Maybe the standards we put on ourselves, the expectations we have about ourselves? I struggle with that, the expectations I put on myself, and I don't live up to them. And I just got to deal with that a lot. You know, praise God I have his word and the Holy Spirit to be able to deal with that, because I put a lot of pressure on myself. And maybe it's, you know, do we view ourselves based on what we're feeling in the moment? I would recommend avoiding that, because you can get in a lot of trouble doing that. You know, letting our view of ourselves be based on what we feel, whether it's anger, whether it's envy, whether it's pride, all these things. But really, here's what we have to do when we're settling this, and when we look at ourselves, here's the key, guys, is we have to line up what God sees us and how we see ourselves. We have to agree with God on the viewpoint of ourselves. We have to settle in ourselves that, no, all right, I want to see myself as God sees me. These two viewpoints need to merge to see you. Don't even worry about the world. Just take that out of the picture completely. All right, forget about it. You know, agree with God on who you are, and that is where change happens. That is where you will see just radical transformation in what you're thinking, in what you feel, in what you do, and your desires, is when you agree with God about who you are. See yourself how God sees you. Change happens. And think of Jesus. Jesus had these same three viewpoints. World hated Jesus. Yet again, he still came in, he came here to save it. The world did not like Jesus, and God viewed Jesus as his son. So he had this view of who he was. And then Jesus, as himself, Jesus agreed that he was who God said he was. He found himself in the scriptures. So he had the same thing. He settled, okay, you know what? Yes, the world hates me. I'm still here to save it. I know God looks at me as this. God tells Jesus he is well pleased with him, just like he does us, because we are in him. Right? And then Jesus himself settled in his mind that this is who I am. All the I am statements he makes, especially in the book of John, you see who he really is. He settles in himself who he is, and that allows him and that empowers him to live the life God called him to. It's the exact same with us. It's a very powerful thing that happens when we just settle in ourselves that we are everything and nothing less than who God says we are. It's something we need to hear every single day. It's so powerful, guys. And you know, we've been pastoring Good News Aurora for about a year. We just had a year, and I'm telling you, this is the big thing. You know, is identity that I think people need to know. This is the thing that has been on my heart this whole time, because even Christians, they may not know their identity, and it's sad and it's hard. So this is something that's important. This is something that we need to be. We are, you know, like, as a body, as believers, need to be putting in people. Because we know a lot of Christians. They may not come to Good News Church, but you know what? They don't know who they are. They're walking in fear of God. They're walking in shame for God. They don't know that God looks at them like he looks at Jesus. These are truths that we need to be imparting to other people. It's okay to not invite them to church. You can tell them in the break room. You can tell them at school. This kind of stuff, and I'm telling you guys, people will be set free from this. They'll be set free from this self-condemnation they have. And we're the ones that can bring that to them. This is something you have to say, well, hey, I heard my pastor say this on Sunday, or I heard a pastor say this, or this, this. Just tell them flat out. You can steal it. Steal all of this revelation. Steal everything you hear from the pulpit. And tell people about it. It's really that important. Is that all right, Matt? Is that cool? It is. So that was our theme for camp was identity. Again, we took these kids into the woods, not to show them the Ten Commandments and show them where they fell short, because we all do, but to show them who they are. That's what we did. And I'm telling you guys, there was going to be life change. Every single person that came to camp, there is change in your life. Things are going to be coming. Things are going to be happening. Even counselors who came for the first time. I was one of you once. Be ready for what God's going to do in your life. It's going to be really, really exciting. Wow. Thank you guys for allowing me to be here, for allowing me to speak to you. I love you guys so, so much. Thank you for all your support all the time. From the bottom of my heart, from our church, I'm not going to cry, I promise. I love you guys so much. Thank you for letting me be here. It's a privilege. It's an honor. Matt, Susie, Nate, Grace, and Harry, thank you guys so much. I'm going to turn the service over to Harry now. Thank you, guys.
I just want to feel led to read this today. It's funny what can happen in a week. I don't know if y'all remember last Sunday. Do you guys remember how it felt in here? And when I walked in this morning, it didn't necessarily feel the same, right? And so I just encourage you just to stir yourself up today. And I want to read this from James 1. And it says this in verse 2. It says, "My brethren, my friends, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Maybe something's happened this week, something's got in the way, and that, you know, it's okay, this is life. But it says, count it all joy. Why? Because knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That is what we are doing, is we're letting patience have its perfect work in us. And I'm going to ask Tori to come up and play and sing, and Kyle, you can come up. And we're just going to, you may have had something happen even this morning. I heard somebody this morning, their car wasn't starting and they had to borrow their neighbor's car to get over here. You know, the devil, this world, it just tries us all the time. It's just the reality. And you can either just let it slap it in the face. I don't know if you guys remember that image of me hitting myself in the face with the Bible. Do you guys remember that? You can let that happen, or you can just choose. You make a decision in your heart. I'm going to count this all as joy because I know I'm trusting in God that he's going to bring me through. I know my identity. I know who I am. And so we're coming through this thing. And we're going to have joy. Joy in the midst of it. Amen. And so we'll see what they'll play. But I just invite you to stand up. Stand up today. You got a little comfortable. Weren't these guys great? Let's give a hand for all these guys who shared. I'm sitting there thinking, man, we got a lot of preachers in this room. We really do. And so we got some other preachers who didn't share. But we're just going to take a second, and we're just going to invite this joy in. And I'm going to have some of our, man, we got a whole section over there. Some of our counselors and campers, and you guys just come line up across here. Y'all just, yeah, all y'all. What? Yeah, so I'll take a counselor and a camper. You guys pair up, and we're just going to line up across here. Can we do that right now? Awesome. Just kind of getting things set. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Thank you, Father. Look at all of them. They all look a little sunburned and a little tired.